We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A lot of Deshaun Watson talk, but I'm happy to be back, mostly because it means I don't have to move anything heavy. If you guys were wondering why I was off, I try to be pretty transparent. I made the completely brilliant decision to move all my stuff myself, right? I'm just going to go ahead at mid-30s. I just decided I'm not going to pay the extra money to have somebody else move my bleep. So this weekend was moving all of my bleep from one house in Charlotte to my new house in Manaway. And guys, it went about as poorly as it could have gone. We had about every season of weather to go ahead and move in, including thunderstorms and tornadic weather in Charlotte. I had a dresser fall on me. It's a real thing. Slid down the stairs, knocked the living crap out of me. So if I took my shirt off right now, which I'm not going to do because there are people around and I would feel bad for them. If I took my shirt off right now, it looks like I have been kidnapped and beaten and held at ransom. Physically, that's where my body is. And the funny thing is, guys, I didn't even start hurting until I sat down in this chair. I was running on fumes until about 2 minutes ago. So we are gutting through this. And I have to start this show because there have been a lot of updates on, and when I say updates, I mean phony baloney reports on the Deshaun Watson situation that we got to get to. Selfishly, there was a huge part of me hoping, all right, I'm gone from Friday all the way until next Wednesday. maybe, just maybe, we'll get a Deshaun Watson settlement or ruling. Selfishly, I was hoping for it. So I could just come back, react to it, and then we could get back to talking about football. But the NFL, in the time it has taken the NFL to, and not just the NFL, the Players Association, Deshaun Watson too, in the time it has taken them to come around to the idea they might want to get a settlement going, I've moved two loads worth of crap from Charlotte to Ohio. So me, in and of myself, can move a house full of crap. And guys, my wife should be on Hoarders. This woman has more crap than any human on the planet should have. I say that lovingly. She's better than me. She married down. I completely understand that. So I have to put up with it. It's the trade. She has to look at me every morning. I have to look at all the crap she has every morning. I'm at peace with it. But I, in 3 weeks, have done more moving crap than the NFL has done in terms of getting something on the books with Deshaun Watson. And listen, there's some minutia here. So I'm not going to inundate you with every single report that has come out. The big things here is that Mike Florio had tweeted out this morning, I think at 6 a.m., that there are increased chances, good momentum towards a deal being struck between the NFL and the NFLPA about Deshaun Watson, with his report saying 8 games is the preference or what Deshaun would be willing to accept, and the NFL wants at least 12 games. Then we had Dan Graziano saying the Deshaun Watson situation, at least as it starts right now, there is a belief that a resolution could happen in the next day or two. And then he went on to say, but that Peter Harvey and his decision looms all over this. We got to get to that in a second. And I think that's the last where I'm at here. It's either that or I just lost my place in a litany of notes on Deshaun Watson, minutia, and all that. So I wanted to get to something. Mike Florio was not only tweeting this morning or posting stories on Pro Football Talk this morning, he was also on the morning show. And Kayla, we're going to get to one Florio here in a moment. Because like a real professional, my first day back at work, I forgot to tell Kayla that we're going to play sound in this segment. Again, fine form here. Physically, I'm broken. Mentally, I also might be broken. But we're going to play, probably in this hour, 3 or 4 clips of what Florio had to say with Ken and Jonathan Peterlin, who was filling in for Lima today. And I think when we get into this, I don't know when the tide turned with the NFL and the NFLPA on a potential settlement. I just would like to point out that the NFL has gone pretty hard in letting everybody know how egregious the actions of Deshaun Watson were. And we can all agree that the NFL or the NFLPA and Deshaun Watson don't have a lot of options. Their option is the nuclear route, which is a lawsuit, which could elongate this process and create more bad headlines. But for a league in the NFL that has said Deshaun Watson's are egregious, our actions were egregious towards at least 24 masotherapists, and who have promised, Roger Goodell throwing out that 17 games, that 17-game mark at the owners' meeting. If they end up settling for 4 games, if they end up settling for less than whatever the hammer is supposed to be, the NFL will have elongated this nightmare for 4 games. Is that what I'm supposed to believe? The NFL is going to say that they dropped the hammer if they settle. One, that doesn't look good. Let's just be real honest here. Which makes me wonder if the NFL found something out or realized something from a legal standpoint that it just wasn't worth fighting and taking this to its proper resolution, whether it's PR-based, whether it is legally, whether they could be legally exposed with a Deshaun Watson lawsuit. It's just wild how in 3 weeks we've gone from Roger Goodell, egregious, 17 games to, settlement's more likely. So Mike Florio, to bring this to fruition, full circle, I don't know, to bring it to something. Mike Florio was on the morning show today and talked about when this ruling could get wrapped up.
Well, I don't know when, but what I've gleaned over the past 5 days, and you go back to Friday, it really felt like Peter Harvey was poised to impose a significant suspension on Deshaun Watson, possibly a full year, possibly taking him off the field prior to the preseason game against the Jaguars. That's when I first started to hear that there were settlement talks and that the possibility of a settlement was real, that Peter Harvey wasn't going to rule until this settlement possibility had been exhausted. As of Monday, I was told, and I hate saying it's 50-50, but that's what I was told. I mean, you could say everything's 50-50. It happens unless it doesn't. But it really is that kind of toss-up. It could go either way. And Harvey isn't going to rule until he hears from the two sides that a settlement just isn't possible. The problem is, until there's a real deadline, a settlement isn't going to happen. Nobody's going to go to their final bottom line until they know that the clock is striking 12. So at some point, Peter Harvey either has to say, look, we need to have a deal by 5 o'clock Eastern on whatever day, or 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, just pick a time. If we don't have a deal by then, I'm issuing my ruling. Either that or just, you know, we get to the point where the start of the season is impending, and that becomes the natural deadline. But the rules require the appeal to be expedited. We're 2 weeks away from the league filing it. It doesn't feel like it's being expedited, and that's because they're trying to settle it. But at some point, the process has to end. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it Friday? At some point, everybody's got to go to their bottom line position and work this out, or just let a ruling be entered. But I'm fascinated by the fact that the NFL seems to be afraid of what happens next if they do the full season suspension. Otherwise, they would just go ahead and do it.
That last part is what I was alluding to, the idea that the NFL has went from full froth to egregious to all the different things that they've thrown out there, 17 games to now they might be afraid of what happens. Also, we've also found out that the word expedited means something differently in NFL parlance. See, I've always thought expedited mean happens very quickly, quickly resolved. Apparently, that's not the case, because 2 weeks is in no way expedited. That's like when you go for fast food and you have to wait 20 minutes for an order. This is no longer fast food, sir. This is just food. Now, I think it's interesting what Florio raises about a deadline, and we'll get into that as today's show goes on. But anytime I hear this from now on, there's a code being spoken here. Mike Florio said it there. He said Harvey isn't going to rule until they know, or he knows rather, that the NFL and NFLPA are at an impasse on settlement talks. Let's be real clear. If you hear a national NFL media member trying to distinguish Peter C. Harvey from the NFL, realize they're on the NFL's dime. It's the only excuse. There is literally no difference from Peter Harvey to Roger Goodell. Same guy in with how closely interrelated their relationships are, and how Peter's worked for the NFL and all the different things we've covered already. Dan Graziano said it as well. Dan Graziano, in his tweet about a settlement could come today or tomorrow, he mentioned, well, of course, we don't know how long Peter C. Harvey's going to wait. Peter C. Harvey's going to wait as long as his owner, and that is Roger Goodell. Peter C. Harvey is a lapdog. He is an NFL media, or if he is an NFL lapdog, he will wait as long as Roger Goodell tells him to wait. So anytime, whether it's Mike Florio, whether it's Dan Graziano, anytime you hear somebody say, Harvey isn't going to rule until, or, oh man, how long can Peter C. Harvey wait? They are shielding the NFL and trying to create the illusion that there's a difference between Peter C. Harvey and Roger Goodell. There isn't, and if you are doing that at this point, you are carrying water for the NFL, which is completely needless at this point, because they're a $25 billion entity, and they can carry their own damn water. We're talking about the latest in the Deshaun Watson thing. The Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Jared saying, so basically, we still know nothing, and nobody knows when this will end still. 5 months of highly paid hot air from those in the know. How do I get this gig? I sent out a sarcastic tweet about it this weekend as well, just where I was like, yeah, there could be a settlement. There could not be a settlement. It could come tomorrow. It could come in 5 months. I just tried to go down every scenario. I do feel for the reporters who have to talk about this every day. And when I'm talking mostly Cleveland media. Much like I'm talking about the Mary Kays, the Daryls, the Tonys, the people like that, because they didn't really sign up for this, and they've already had to cover a mountain of garbage from this team over the last 20 years. So the idea that they still have to now is somehow we've escalated the garbage that we previously had to deal with now a very convoluted legal but not legal situation. I feel for those people, but. Like, let's just be honest. Mike Florio is throwing as much crap at the wall. And I say this respectfully. He does something I can't. He's a former lawyer, or is a lawyer. I don't know if he's still a practicing lawyer, but he's a lawyer. So he's luring the hell out of this. And I'm sure it's doing great things content-wise for his website. But he did say something when he was on the morning show today that I thought was really interesting. The idea of a deadline is necessary between the NFLPA and the NFL to spur action. It is the old saying, deadline spur action. I think there's already one deadline. I think the idea that Peter C. Harvey is going to say, all right, Friday the 19th, if you guys don't have something by 12, like dad, I'm going to come down there. I'm going to put you kids in the corner. Also, he is the NFL. So the idea that Peter Harvey needs to put in a deadline when he is basically one half of the equation is silly. But I do think that deadlines can help. I think there are natural deadlines that will help. The point, the drop dead date for a deadline is week one of the NFL season. There is no way in hell the NFL is going to let Deshaun Watson out on the field week one after the headlines that have been out there all offseason long. Can I tell you another one? It's not as significant. It's not as firm as, or maybe as feared as week one. Can I tell you one deadline that's going to matter? This weekend. Browns have another preseason game. And we'll get into whether or not Deshaun should play. We have some sound on that as well in today's show that we can get into and what we want to see and all that. But the idea that the NFL, if they didn't like seeing Deshaun out there 5 days ago, they sure as hell aren't going to want to see him out there again. So there are natural deadlines that I think matter in this. But the question I wanted to hear from you guys, or the question I threw out to you guys, is ultimately what do you think happens with Deshaun Watson? Because after 5 months, I agree with Jared. I don't know. And I think we've reached a point where I don't care. I just want it to be done. All right, I've seen Browns fans attacked. I've seen Browns media attacked. I've seen people on the station attacked. I've seen a lot of people who have just teed off on anything Cleveland because it makes them feel better about how disgusting this situation is with Deshaun Watson, what he's being accused of. And since they can't do anything about that, they can tee off of anybody involved. So I'm ready for that to be over. I'm ready for the attacks on Cleveland Browns fans to stop. I'm ready to start. And listen, it's going to take a while before I feel good about an organization that moved on from the guy that stabilized the organization in Baker Mayfield. I don't care if you like him. That's what he did. But moved on from him for a guy accused of sexual assault or sexual impropriety. It's going to take a while for me to feel better about that. So that's not what a ruling does for me. What a ruling does for me just allows me to get back to talking about football, which is ultimately what we want. We got to get into what a win would be for the Cleveland Browns here in just a moment. We got a couple calls here, 216-578-0092. With Dan Graziano saying a ruling could come down, or a settlement, excuse me, could come down today or tomorrow. Ultimately, what do you think happens with Deshaun Watson? Jeff, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, Nick. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Man, I'm just so annoyed at how the media and the NFL think we are stupid or think we're dumb, because this has to be the biggest farce ever. Think about it, Nick. 2 weeks ago when Harvey got the case, everybody was saying how egregious Deshaun Watson did and how Harvey was going to drop the hammer on the whole Deshaun Watson situation. Everybody was bracing for that. They didn't even want to accept the 12-game thing that they were trying to do before Sue L. Robinson, made her ruling. Now, all of a sudden, people want us to think that the ball is still in Harvey's court or in the NFL's court. They are scrambling right now not to go to court because they know in federal court it's going to be a whole mess, and they're going to get the cover pulled off of everybody, because Deshaun Watson, based on Sue L. Robinson's ruling, even though he was guilty of what he did, they had no grounds within the CBA to do any excessive punishment for a non-violent sexual assault. So he's going to lose. They're going to lose in court. And plus, the laundry from all the owners and all the negative stuff that the owners did are going to come out. Right now, I don't see Deshaun getting more than 8 games. And the only reason why I say that is because he said he was willing to accept 8 games. Maybe 9, But the ball is completely in the Cleveland, I mean, the Deshaun Watson's case right now. And they're the ones that are switching their story and saying, oh, we're going to see if they can settle on this. Where was the settlement 2 weeks ago when you said an indefinite suspension of 1 year?
You know,
nobody
Jeff,
would settle.
Jeff, there's a few things here. One, I don't know if the NFL thinks we're dumb or if they just think they're that smart. I think there's an arrogance to the NFL as led by Roger Goodell. And this happens when you have an asinine amount of money, which every NFL owner does, you end up starting to think you really are better. It doesn't matter that some of those people inherited that money. It doesn't matter that luck was involved for some of those people. It doesn't matter how they came about it. People think if there is a thought amongst the 1% that they're better than you because they have more money than you. I think that's absolutely prevalent in the NFL. I think there is a through line and I don't want to say it's across all of the 32 owners, but I do think that there is a hubris from the NFL. I also think, getting into the greater point that Jeff was making there, he said basically the NFL got scared overnight. I would really, and it, eventually this will come out. It's not going to come out today. I think the NFL, in its due diligence in trying to figure out how hard they could hammer Deshaun Watson, I think one of a few things might have happened. I think they realized maybe a Deshaun Watson lawsuit could expose them legally, create more of a PR nightmare than just giving them the PR win that they want, or could open up an entirely new can of worms, including the different treatment from players to owners. One, maybe two, maybe all three things happened. But the stark change, the change in, or the contrast in 17 games, egregious, all the things that Jeff talked about there, and where now it's like, you know what? The NFL has a reason. The NFL, all of a sudden, might be really interested in this settlement. I think something scared or some sense was knocked into the NFL. And here's the truth, because I think this has been lost as well in the equation. You can be completely appalled at Deshaun Watson's accusations, what he's being accused of, being disheartened that the organization you and I both grew up loving is the team that traded for him and decided to pay him $250 million. And you can also be completely disgusted at how the NFL does business. And I will laugh. If the NFL goes from a 6-game to an 8-game suspension, if that's their settlement, and nobody in the NFL, I'm talking about if the Sarah Spains, who were calling out Browns fans for getting autographs of Deshaun Watson, if all these people that have carried water for the NFL and said, oh, the NFL is doing the right thing, and ignored the fact that the process was crap, because it, in the end, they think Deshaun is guilty of whatever he's being accused of, and they think that guy shouldn't play football. If they don't turn on the NFL when it comes out to be an 8 or 10-game suspension, I'm sorry, they got to be on the payroll. That's the only thing that can describe. There's some reason that they're not bashing the NFL for a joke of a process. Because it was a joke when it was 6 games. It was a joke when they overturned it. It's been a joke the whole damn time. You can be enraged at both things. You don't have to choose, just depending on whether you think Deshaun is guilty or not.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
It's three things that's going to happen. And I agree with the last caller. The NFL PA has the advantage. First thing, Sue L. Robinson put it plainly in her writings that she was not going to change the precedent for punishment because it wouldn't be fair, because it was never in the collective bargaining agreement.
how to punish players for nonviolent offenses. So she, that right there will hold up in court. The second thing is,
Jeff, Roger, real quick, Joe, real quick, are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not.
Okay, just making sure. Continue.
Okay, the second thing is, Roger Goodell, instead of him coming down with the punishment, he puts it off to Peter C. Harvey. Okay, Peter C. Harvey is an advocate for women of sexual abuse. So that's a double whammy, because now if he was to give him a harsh punishment, that's on a biased situation because of the organization that he represents.
Can I just tell you real quick, the second thing, I don't see a difference between the two of Peter C. Harvey or Roger Goodell, and neither should you. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, it's like a double bias, basically, because he already is not going to have any leniency because of who he represents organizational-wise outside of the football situation.
Real quick, what was your third thing, buddy, or was that it?
You know, the third thing was, if he do give him a harsh punishment, NFLP has to have somebody at the courthouse in Delaware to file a death among Sue Robinson's contemporaries to help make this thing go away.
We appreciate you, Joe. Daniel Wallach, Daniel Lust, both guys have said that. The race to the courthouse, if the NFLPA and NFL don't agree on a deal here, is going to be really interesting. I love when callers are like, all right, three things, and then they just hit you like a PowerPoint. Like, this is not a criticism, Joe. Do not take it that way. I love PowerPoint radio almost as much as Kyle Shanahan loves giving 40-point or 40-page PowerPoints to the Cleveland Browns organization trying to get himself fired or out of his contract. I'm not saying the Cleveland Browns deserve a win. This is not what I'm about to go ahead and say. But there are ways in this in which the Cleveland Browns don't completely lose. And that's something I want to hear from you guys, because it's something I think we should like, the Cleveland Browns thought they were going to win by trading for Deshaun Watson. And let's be honest, the price that they got him for, given his actual talent, still a pittance compared to how impactful of a player he can be. But the win was going to be they were going to get him at that price and only lose maybe 6 to 8 games this year. So that doesn't look like it's going to be, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to be more than 6 games and probably more than 8 games. So I'll throw out to you guys before we get to our next call. I'm not saying the Browns deserve to win, but when we get into the grand scheme of things, how do the Browns come out of this in a way winning, right? Like 10 games, which was thrown out there. Mike Florio today had said Deshaun Watson, he'd be willing to accept 8 games. The NFL wants at least 12 games. If they meet in the middle, that's 10 games. Would 10 games be a win for the Cleveland Browns? We'll get into that. But Nick, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for getting me on. So, I think it's probably going to end up being, unfortunately, 10 or 12 games is likely, but I still think 8 is possible. And how that 8 is possible, I think it just depends on what they're negotiating. There's a lot of things they could, they could increase the fine. They could agree to, therapy and, a whole bunch more. So that's what I think there. But in terms of what else could happen, I think if it goes to federal court, I mean, the worst case scenario is he'll have to miss this season if it goes to federal court, and then next year he'll get the 6 games. That's what I think would happen. Or I guess it's possible. I mean, do you guys think it's still possible he could, play game 1 if it goes to federal court? Because I honestly think 12 games is a toss-up if Watson's going to go to federal court or not with the NFLPA, but I honestly think he will if it's 12 games. Because in Watson's eyes, he knows 12 games is practically a year, and I think he's just going to do whatever he can to not get that 12 game.
You know, Nick, I'm just going to do something that not enough people have done in this entire process, dating back to a year and a half ago. I don't know. I don't know what the magical line in the sand is that this could avoid a lawsuit. I'll just say it. I asked you guys, would 10 games be a win for the Browns of a settlement between the NFL and NFLPA for Deshaun Watson? This thing avoiding a federal lawsuit, I think, would also be a win for the Cleveland Browns. We are still talking about the minutiae of the Deshaun Watson situation. Dan Graziano, reporting of ESPN earlier today, a resolution could come down today or tomorrow. It could be expected in the next 24 hours. Mercifully, I'm more rooting for the thing to be over than I am any specific thing. I think there are two ways that the Browns can definitively win the situation. Meaning, when I say win, I'm not talking about literally win. I'm just saying that they come out of it in the best possible shape. That's how I'm defending, or that's how I'm defining winning. However, Mike Florio was on the morning show with Ken and John Lapeterlin, who was in for Anthony Lima today. And one of the things he got into was what ultimately happens with Deshaun's suspension.
I think at this point, the NFLPA isn't fighting the delay because they're trying to settle the case. Again, at some point, the process has to end. But there's been no complaining by the union that, oh, this has been 2 weeks and we want an answer. Because if they do that, they're going to get an answer pretty quickly. And the answer is going to be he's suspended for the full year and then you have to fight us in court. I just feel like the league is trying to avoid this thing ending up in court, whether that's because they don't want the other owners to get dragged into it. We know that that's already been an issue in the hearing before Judge Robinson and would presumably be an issue if they go to federal court. You know, I think the NFL ultimately wins in federal court because they have proven in the past that they win these cases when players try to push back against discipline through a federal court action. And if anything, I think the league's position is stronger now than it was in past years by virtue of the latest CBA. But the league is for some reason not willing to go that route, not willing to say you're out for the whole year and we'll see you in court. At a time when I thought the league was going to have that attitude, they don't. And now the question becomes, it's not a huge gap of games. Watson reportedly is willing to do 8 games and a $5 million fine. I think the league would like to do 12. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, pick a number, and a dollar value between $5 million and $10 million. It shouldn't be that difficult for the two sides to come to a consensus on what ultimately gets this completed. And above all else, I just feel like the NFL has a desire to just get this over with and not continue the fighting, the reporting, the discussion, everything that's gone along with this case since it first emerged in the middle of March of 2021.
It's pretty rich to hear Florio say, the NFL is, they're so over the reporting and the fighting and the whatnot. Since they're one of the, they're one of the primary engagers on this. They started the PR flex on Deshaun Watson, not the other way around. Actually, if we start originally, it was Tony Busby with all the press conferences he's had, all the leaks that he's had. But like the NFL has run a 4-month campaign on Deshaun Watson. So it's rich to hear the NFL a week after Roger Goodell at the owners meeting being like, oh, egregious, 17 games. Hearing Mike Fleury be like, I think the NFL just wants to get this over. It's really interesting that that's happened in about an eight-day time period. But I think, you know, I just talked about the Browns coming out of this in the best possible scenario. I think avoiding a lawsuit is a win for the Browns and the NFL. Because I agree with Florio. Look at the history. The NFL tends to win in labor issues that spill into federal court. However, that doesn't mean that Deshaun Watson and the NFLPA wouldn't make this really uncomfortable for the NFL. That some of the double standards in the NFL, some of the skeletons in the NFL's closet wouldn't come out. Guys, here are the things that we know about NFL owners. One, got busted going to a prostitution joint in Florida, in Robert Kraft. Another guy apparently has two separate sets of books in Dan Snyder. That's not skeletons you want out in public, and certainly in a court of law. Jimmy Haslam, need I say more? We all remember what happened with Jimmy Haslam. These are just some of the things that NFL owners, that have come to light. If that's come to light, what are they hiding? What, like, if those are the skeletons, they're okay, or at least have not been able to leak from getting out, what the hell could come out in this process? That is exactly why the NFL, avoiding a lawsuit, makes sense for the NFL. Here's the other one. Here's why it's a win for the NFL. They don't want the courts to set a precedent. They're pretty confident they could win, but the idea that this either wouldn't reset the precedents if Deshaun Watson put enough pressure on them to settle for less games, or The idea that this won't come back and boomerang in the next CBA is wishful thinking if you're the NFL. And for the Browns, you need one of two extremes to happen. If the Browns want to come out of this as good as possible, you either need the least amount of games, which feels like 8 to 10 games, because 8 to 10 games, I can still... The NFL is built on hope. The NFL is about putting asses in seats because you think your team can win on any given Sunday. All right? That's not... I'm not really reinventing the wheel with that take. That's just the reality of the NFL machine. 8 to 10 games, you can still sell it to your fans. You can still sell it to your locker room. We just got to tread water until Deshaun comes back. Right? That's a win for the Cleveland Browns. Here's the other win. A full season suspension. And the reason being is the idea of the contract tolling. If the contract tolls over into next year, if that happens in the event of a 17-game suspension, which I do think the Cleveland Browns should want, all that cap hit, which is some ungodly number, all that cap hit becomes available this year for the Cleveland Browns. That means you can go get Jimmy Garoppolo without having to have him eat too much of his salary, which means you wouldn't have to give anything up for him. You can probably go out there and find a center to replace Nick Harris since he's out for the year, whether that's J.C. Tretter or somebody else. And hell, you can probably go get that veteran receiver you want as well. You'd still have to be dealing with a non-Deshaun Watson quarterback, which might not be optimal if you're the Cleveland Browns. You can't control that. But if it's 12 games, that's probably still not enough games to go get Jimmy Garoppolo if you're the Browns. If we're believing Ian Rappaport saying the Browns aren't that interested, if that's not just the Browns negotiating in public. 12 games, you're still on the fence about getting Jimmy G. Also, you're still paying Deshaun Watson, whether that goes to the NFL or not. You don't free up the salary cap space, and you probably don't get enough games of Deshaun Watson to sell hope to the locker room to keep them invested for 12 games, 13 games, 14 games, whatever it is, or to your fans. Anywhere in between 11 games and 17 games, or 16 games, excuse me. So anything from 11 games to short of a full season probably is a disaster if you're the Cleveland Browns. The extremes are probably the waters you want to play in. Or sorry, and not they don't really have a play here. They've already made their plays. They traded for Deshaun Watson. They gave him the big-ass contract. But the extremes are probably where you're most comfortable with the Cleveland Browns, because then you can control more. You can control more the messaging. You can control more in the locker room. You either have enough of Deshaun Watson or no Deshaun Watson at all. That's better than just a smidgen of Deshaun. Bill, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
I'm tired of what the Browns put us in this position with Deshaun Watson. It's his fault. It's not the Browns' fault, NFLPA. I know we've advanced way beyond it. But do the Browns realize what a position they put us in as fans? I don't care about Deshaun Watson anymore. I don't care if he has success. I wish he'd leave. I want Chris Olave and a healthy Baker Mayfield. I'm just tired. They've ruined the season. It's ruined. And you poor guy's got to talk about it. And Mike Florio, I never want to hear from him ever again.
Well, but, Bill, they do pay me, so I don't. I don't feel too bad for me, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's just like this is ruined the season, and a lot of my friends, we just were like, ugh, I can't deal with it anymore, and it's Deshaun's fault. And they bought into it. The Haslams bought him, and now he's supposed to be mine. He ain't mine. He ain't never gonna be mine. And I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. God bless Ohio State's playing Notre Dame in 3 weeks, but they've taken my Browns away from me and given me this crap.
I'm so
tired.
Bill, I understand the frustration. It's complex here, and I thank you for the call, bud. I will not fault anybody if this was the thing that stopped making you a Browns fan. I won't. The things that Deshaun Watson is accused of are egregious, and historically, as a society, we've not taken them seriously enough. More often than not, we've victim-shamed. That's awful. Just historically, the way we've approached these kind of things is awful. So if you're saying, I'm out on the Browns, I totally get it. That's probably the proper adult response. However, I do think, much like everything else, if Deshaun Watson gets 10 games, comes out in the last 7 regular season games, balls out, and he has in the playoffs, I do think there are going to be more people back on the bandwagon. Unfortunately, I just think that's the way things roll. And I, getting back to this, Deshaun Watson's actions put them in the situation. But the Cleveland Browns' actions for trading for him put the Browns in this situation. And the NFL, by not suspending Deshaun Watson or putting him on the exempt list 18 months ago, put everybody in this situation. There's enough blame to go around. It doesn't need to just fall on Deshaun, even though, yes, his actions are the genesis of why everybody is in this situation as of right now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.